Let's go out to St. Petersburg for the Rashog Report, brought to you by Auto City Edmonton, St. Albert Trail, and 131st Avenue. Ryan Rashog joins us. Shogger, how are you, my man?
I'm good, buddy. Good, good. Just got back after working the late game here. So was a loss for Hungary against Germany, but they put up a pretty good fight.
Would you have guessed Anton Lander has the fifth most games played of the Oilers on their current roster?
No. I mean, I guess maybe if I went through it slowly and really thought about it, maybe. But no, I won't take credit for having been able to pull that one out of thin air.
Yeah, and it just
definitely points to an issue, though, doesn't it?
Cool. But when I did the research on this, like, I was stunned when I was looking at the other teams and what they've had basically since the start of the 11-12 season of teams. And, you know, in some cases, 8, 9, 10 players that have as much or more games than Hall, Eberle, and Nugent Hopkins. Like, it's, yeah, and it's no surprise, all the top teams, the Blues, the Hawks, and the Ducks, and the Sharks, and the Kings, and the Predators, who all they do, you know, are basically 98 or 100-point teams for the most part, right? And it just, the illustration that they don't have, that the core is rotten, is just so incorrect, because they've never had a semblance of a core. They're getting one now a little bit because of Sekera and McDavid, and Hall is older now, and, you know, they've got Eberle, who's almost got 400 games, or actually has over 400 games. So, and Cam Talbot, right? So you at least think that, okay, if we looked at today's team and said now over the next 5 years, sure, then I could make an argument that they would probably have a semblance of it, because you've also got Klefbom, Nurse potentially, Davidson, Sekera. So you would think two of those guys will be competent defensemen still in 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I think at the start of the year, you could have made a little bit more of an argument. And I mean, like, what is a core? Like, what do you have it established as? Is it going to be five guys, four guys?
The problem was the Oilers really only had three, Shogger, who have been on the team for 5 years, right? So all I did was I just looked at anybody who'd been on one team for 5 years, and it varied. You know, most teams did, and I used it as key guys. Like, no offense. In St. Louis, I didn't use Ryan Reeves, even though he's been there the entire time, right? He's not necessarily what I'd call a core guy, but Petrangelo and Backes and Steen and Schwartz and Shattenkirk and Elliott, that to me is a core. And then Tarasenko and Bouwmeester arrived the next year, so they've had all those guys for 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, the Oilers had, at the start of last year, I mean, you had Hall, Nugent Hopkins, and Jordan Eberle, and that's sort of the...
Well, and Justin Schultz would have been the other one.
And then, yes, and Justin Schultz is the other guy who, at the start of the year, if you were to point out, you know, what would be considered their core, he'd have been there. So whether you want to label it a core or not, whatever you want to call it, I think the point is, I mean, let's call it a foundation. How about that? And that the Oilers' foundation, you know, until they got McDavid, the foundation was very incomplete, because it takes more than just skilled forwards. They didn't have a goaltender. They didn't have legitimate blue liners outside of young guys coming in the form of Nurse. You know, and again, this is looking back to the start of the year. Nurse, Klefbom, unproven guys, Justin Schultz, whose game had been falling apart. So the foundation isn't in place, and it hasn't been in place for a long, long time. Now, you add Connor McDavid, and that's a big, big, big one. You got Draisaitl coming along. That's another big one, too. But the foundation on the back end is it's still too young, and they need to add some pieces right now. And so, yeah, the core doesn't really exist. The foundation is only kind of half put together. There's lots of work to be done, and critical pieces are missing.
Oh, major critical pieces. And the other thing is all the players you mentioned were all extremely young. So not only did they only have forwards, they had forwards with no experience.
Yeah.
Right, that's probably the worst part about it, was that when they got rid of everybody, right? Like, and a lot of fans are like, get rid of Horkoff. And I'm like, well, you understand he's protecting Nugent Hopkins, right? He was kind of protecting Sam Gagner. And you look at these other teams, and they didn't throw in all their young guys. And if you did have young forwards, well, then you had veteran defense or vice versa.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you know, Colorado's another team that had young offensive players too.
But they were still 2.5 years older on average. I looked at Colorado's. Right, they were 2.5. Their average age is 26.2 amongst their core guys, and Edmonton's was 23.8.
Yeah,
so two and a half years.
The point I was going to make with Colorado was that they were, I think they did a little bit of a better job insulating some of their young players with veteran guys. I mean, I know, you know, Tanguy was there. You know, like McKinnon was young, but there were veterans around. Jerome McGinn was around. You know, even on the blue line, they try and work in some veteran guys. So I think they've done a better job of putting veterans around that core of youth, that youthful core of theirs. So that's kind of what's, in my mind, that's what was lacking in the early days of Hall and in the early days of Eberle and Nugent Hopkins and those guys, is just that really rock-solid veteran guy or two who just knew exactly how to do it. And not a plug, not a third or fourth line guy, but like a guy who's been a first round pick, a guy who's had offensive expectations, a guy who's been a big fish in a small pond, people who've had these experiences and can help these guys kind of work their way through that. And the Oilers just never really had that. And so you had these young guys kind of slugging it out on their own. And that's just off the ice, you know, and then on the ice, all the ways of, you know, there's a lot of ins and outs and learning to do it. And there was a price that has been paid for them not putting more quality veterans around those young guys back when they were really young. And I mean, they've worked through it and they're good players, but organizationally there's been a price, and that price is they haven't been able to take a step forward. They haven't been able to nudge the ball forward. And it's totally stalled.
You're watching two of those players on a daily basis at the World Championships right now, McDavid and Hall. They combined on the first goal for Stone again today. Do you think Taylor Hall's like, I had him on my team regardless, but do you think his performance there might land him on the World Cup team?
I don't know. You know, if it were anybody but Mike Babcock coaching, I think Mike Babcock, because he had Lidstrom and he had Zetterberg and he had Datsyuk. I think Mike Babcock places a really high premium on intelligent players who can limit their mistakes, and especially if you're going to be an offensive player. Like, you're not going to play Taylor in anything other than an offensive role on that team, but there's lots of really good offensive players out there, and good offensive players that can bring a different level of defense that Taylor can bring. I think Taylor's done everything he can. Like, he really has. He had a bit of a drought this year for a time, but, you know, he showed he can produce at a high level again this year. He went to the World Championships last year and shot the lights out. He's at the World Championships again this year. You know, probably wasn't his first choice to come do this, but he's here doing it, trying to make a case for being. He's done everything he can. At the end of the day, I don't know if Mike Babcock will take Taylor Hall on that team. And it's less about what Hall's done and more about what Hall is. I'm not sure that fits in the Babcock mold. The only thing that might save Taylor is the fact that he has had some success playing with Sid. And traditionally, they've had trouble finding guys to play with Sid at these international events. And maybe that will be a natural fit for them on that team.
Well, I'm just looking at wingers. And Armstrong made it very clear that they want to add some natural wingers. They've got 8 centers on the team. They don't need more centers, right? So outside of Marchand, Duchesne, Hall, and Perry, which other Canadian wingers do you think are seriously in the mix, and which one would you put ahead of Hall?
Yeah. And sorry, my brains are a little bit scrambled eggs here at the end of a long day, so I'm kind of... you know, and I don't have a list right in front of me. So which ones did you list?
Like the guys that are there, Duchesne, Marchand, Perry, and Hall, right? Like those are four wingers that are there. There's four, you know, there's four forward positions left, right? To me, and I'm thinking of other names off top. I just don't see a lot of natural wingers who are Canadian. And I'd say, wow, they're close to Hall offensively, but way better defensively, right? Like I just don't see many.
Well, and it's kind of like, I know they talked about natural wingers, but you can't have enough centers. And I get that, if Taylor Hall plays on that team, you don't play him on a third or a fourth line, do you? Like, he's kind of got to be on one of those top two offensive lines, doesn't he? And that's tough. And there are good centers who have better two-way games who can play on the wing, you know, and you know, Ryan O'Reilly is just a spectacular player. Like, this guy is so good. And he slowed down a little bit at this tournament. But watching him every day, He is such a good. I still can't believe Colorado traded him.
Oh, like, buddy, that trade
no
was
sense to me.
Like, you know what the worst part of that trade is, Shocker? Jamie McGinn had 22 goals. He was also, it was him and O'Reilly. Like, that was the worst part of the trade. Like, McGinn straight up is better than Grigorenko. Never mind throwing in O'Reilly for Zadorov. Like, that was such a terrible trade by the Avs. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I thought
it was.
I had O'Reilly on my team as well, but they named so many other centers, I'm not sure they announced him now.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I don't know. When it comes down to it, Mike Babcock, you know, he's here. He was watching this team, although he went over to Moscow. Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if that team is pretty much already picked. Like, if they've already got their mind made up and maybe a couple things here or there that can slide either way. And like I said, Taylor's done everything in his power, but there's just that thing in Taylor's game. I don't know if Babcock will like it. And it's that thing where, you know, Taylor, he generates a lot, and he produces a lot of chances, but he also gives up a fair amount, and he's prone to chucking it away, and he's prone to a few things that I think would drive Mike Babcock nuts. And we'll see. I don't think we can underestimate the value of chemistry with Sid. And Taylor showed he had that. I've covered so many Olympics and international events where the storyline has been trying to find someone that can play with Sid, and Taylor's shown he could do that. So I think that maybe gives him an edge, but I don't think Taylor is a player that Mike Babcock would really, really lean towards based on what I know he looks for in players.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. They've moved it up till next Friday for the announcement date on that one. And lastly, as a you've seen some young Canadian players over there. I'm sure you've watched a little bit of the playoffs. Robbie Fabry's given himself an opportunity to maybe make the U24 team. Shifley's over there right now. He's a little bit in and out of the lineup, banged up. What do you think Nugent Hopkins is a lock on that U24 team, or do you think there's a chance he doesn't make it?
No, I'm starting to think more that he probably does have a really, really good chance of being on there. That maybe not coming to the World Championships had to do with wanting to be healthy so that he could be part of that team. If he came here and got nicked up, then all of a sudden his summer gets set back, and now he's trying to get healthy early in time for that tournament. I think Ryan maybe had a sense that he had a good chance to play on that team and decided to make the choice to get healthy. So, yeah, I think he probably does fit there. I agree with you. Like Shifley's a really good player too. He's got a physical element in his game too that he's shown the odd time over here that I really like. He's got some edge that maybe he doesn't bring it every single night of the NHL, but it's there. So he's got some real nice gamesmanship. And by the way, the other guy I've been really surprised with is, I don't know, you asked me when he got named to the team, what do you know about what Mike Matheson brings? I really like him, man. He's mobile. He's got a bomb for a shot. Gets around good out there. His teammates really like him. I've been really impressed by Matheson. So I'm not saying he's going to make any teams or anything like that, but just that's what's great about coming to this event is you learn things about guys that you don't necessarily cover every day, and you get to see some guys. And Matheson's one that's really stood out for me.
Well, first-round pick, 23rd overall a few years ago. And, Florida's another good young find for them. And that's why we don't have time to get into it. I really don't understand the decision in Florida to move Talon upstairs unless it was his own decision.
Oh.
Like, I don't get that decision at all.
That is being frowned upon in many, many circles all around the National Hockey League. Make no mistake about that. People are scratching their heads over that one.
Yeah. Not a wise decision. That guy's he's got an unreal eye for talent. It was a huge part of the Chicago build. And then, of course, look at Florida. They got a lot of good young players. Shocker, we'll let you get some sleep. When do the playoffs start?
Honestly, I don't even know what day it is as I sit
It's
here.
Monday,
so
buddy.
It's
tomorrow
Monday,
tomorrow
right?
is the last game against Finland, I think, right, in the round robin?
Yeah, so tomorrow's the last game against Finland, and then we got to see what happens in the quarterfinals. I'm pretty sure Canada will be staying here for the quarterfinal, but they've got to play against Finland, and then that'll be for top spot. And then you got to wait and see what happens on the other side. The United States, by the way, they might not make the quarterfinals, depending on how their game goes tomorrow. So they're playing against Slovakia. I'm going to call that one in the morning with Ray. So that should be a fun game. The U.S. has a lot on the line there after they drop that game against Germany.
Shocker, get some rest. Make sure you take some of that beehive spray that you're spraying in your throat. And We will.
And by the way, if anybody wants to send a tweet to Ray Ferraro, I had him doing push-ups in the press box tonight between periods. So.
You have a picture of it?
He was sour.
Yeah. Do you have a picture of it?
Yeah, I have a picture, but I got to work with Ray tomorrow, so I'm not going to tweet it. Ray has a tendency to be a little dangerous if you piss him off, so I'm going to I'm gonna maybe let it sit until I'm done doing games with him.
Oh, nice.
And then I'll tweet it out after.
Oh, okay. Nice. All right, Jagger, have a good one. Get some rest.
All right. Good to talk to you, pal.
You too.